ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Why did Matthew Flinders write such saucy letters to his best friend, George Bass?
Who really chopped off Chopper's ears?
And why did they name a swimming pool after an Australian Prime Minister who drowned?
I mean, why didn't they just use Harry Holt's high school nickname, Puss? These are the kind of historical questions we'll be asking on The Dead Can't Sue.
Search The Dead Can't Sue podcast wherever you get your podcasts. As the US hurtles towards the November midterms, data centres have become a top election issue, with politicians across the political divide joining voters to demand a moratorium on their construction. Even Erin Brockovich is getting involved in a campaign that's sweeping the country. So what does it tell us about our own journey as the data centre debate heats up here? Today, Nicole Turner-Lee, Senior Fellow at the Brookings Institution on the data centre backlash. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Nicole, the data centre debate is, I think it's fair to say, just starting to heat up in Australia. So we want to get an idea from you how fierce this could become, given what's unfolding in the United States. Now, I have to start with Erin Brockovich.
Erin Brockovich, you're
nice
making some good
you.
Trouble?
I didn't set out to do that, but apparently yes.
Yes, you did.
This is one of her new campaigns, right? Most recently, she appeared on the podcast The New Yorker Radio Hour with David Remnick. Just tell me what she's up to when it comes to data centers.
Well, it's so interesting when you say her name because I remember when Julia Roberts actually played her.
Yes. Don't we all?
I know, right? Exactly. I mean, I'm thinking about it. I've never met her personally, but I never met Julia Roberts, but she played her so brilliantly, right?
Yes.
And I think what she's been able to do is to bring some visibility and profile to it. Mm. But she's also doing really interesting things like reporting projects where communities can have more transparency since obviously much of this stuff is being done behind the veil.
We just have no information. I mean, wait a minute. You got to tell us what you're doing. Who's going to pay for the electrical? What is going to be your water consumption? What size of land mass do you need?
And she's put together a crowdsourced map that tracks major AI data centers across the United States. And each red dot on this map is a data center, and there's more than 4,000 of them.
Oh, there are so many. I mean, in the United States, 4,000 are probably in existence with an additional 1,500 to 2,000 that are in planning processes right now. You know, I think she's right on point in making sure that there's greater transparency among everyday people.
So what are we seeing on the ground across America? There are increasing number of people coming out to protest against these data centers, aren't there? Just tell me what's going on.
Well, you know, people are now, I think, taking their agency back on AI. First and foremost, let's look at the statistics. Over 71% of people who are recently surveyed suggest that, you know, they don't want a data center in their backyard. Mm. And I think that's actually trending along the cynicism that some people have around AI, particularly since many everyday people are hearing that it's going to take their job or transform the way they work or they spend or they live, you know what I mean? So I think people have a general concern that AI is going to be something that is way out of their control. Then comes the data center. You know, whereas AI, in most people's interpretation, is probably like a chatbot or using generative products, you know, like OpenAI or, you know, Gemini. Mm. You know, the data center is something that you can actually see physically. And so when you see this big monstrosity in your neighborhood and it appears to be closer to your home or close to your school, people are now up in arms.
Enough is enough! Enough is enough.
We do not want a data center in this country.
They're actually encouraging lawmakers to put in moratoriums or to ban these deals that are coming to their communities. This is the first time, and I've been doing internet policy for a long time, that I've seen this type of enthusiasm as well as influence where communities are actually shutting down projects. But this is sending a signal, particularly as we go into our elections, that people have some very strong opinions around the growth of AI in these facilities within their communities.
Yeah, so they're worried about how much water these data centers use, pollution, the amount of power they use, that it potentially will increase their power bills. But they're also concerned about the AI boom more generally and the power that the billionaire tech giants have.
These are real concepts. I was once in a room with a woman who talked about putting mattresses in front of her windows to sort of reduce the noise that was keeping her children up from sleeping, or people reporting dust on trampolines in their backyards just simply because of the ways in which energy is being generated. You know, those are real stories that people are living with. And I think, again, those are at the root of the collective movements that we're seeing around data center resistance. These are centers that are extracting in ways that communities, you know, though there may be in these deals, you know, some return on investment, you know, at the end of the day, communities are not necessarily going to be the winners in this. And the people who are leading this charge are going to continue to get much more wealthier as these data centers actually accelerate across the United States and now into Australia.
Nicole, let's have a look at how big an issue the data center backlash is becoming for the upcoming midterm elections in the United States. Now, Donald Trump, of course, he's a big fan of data centers, isn't he? Because he wants to win the AI race against China.
I will tell you, the AI, the artificial intelligence, we're way ahead of number two. Number two is China. And I never want to underestimate China, but right now we're way ahead, President Xi.
Well, and that doesn't resonate for most everyday people in rural and urban America, right? When they hear that, that doesn't necessarily, you know, alleviate some of the pain points that they feel that they have with data centers coming into their community. I mean, both Democrats and Republicans are actually on the same side when it comes to these complaints. So this is actually one of those issues where you're actually seeing the same type of energy on both sides of the aisle. In fact, it's getting even more contentious as we go towards the midterms because many of the candidates, you know, in either party are really doing these data centers ad campaigns to slander people based on their support of data centers. We kind of knew this was coming. You know, in some of the more local elections that happened a few months prior, we saw a lot of candidates voted out just based on how they voted for or against the data center. This is going to be something that's going to show up in the midterms. It's already showing up in Ohio, for example, in the Senate race, where there's lots of activity around a particular candidate sort of being the face of data centers.
He's been called the face of data centers in Ohio. Why? Because John Husted spent years aggressively recruiting data centers to the state.
I've never seen anything like this where such an issue, again, has both bipartisan support. But I do think, again, this goes back to the fact that people are already struggling. They're struggling to pay for gas. They're struggling to pay for groceries. Now they're going to be struggling to keep their energy bills affordable.
Yeah, these political ads that are going out, as you say, they're from the Republican side, they're from the Democrat side.
We don't want crime or data centers in our neighborhoods.
You don't protect our pocketbooks and our people, you won't build data centers.
Why is my electric bill going up?
Absolutely. I'm happy to help. Data center production and energy use in Texas is skyrocketing to meet AI's needs.
It's an effective campaign strategy at this point, isn't it? Because the concern among communities runs so deeply.
It is. And I mean, it's also a failure on the part of the government to address some of the issues that we've had, you know, in the long term over the grid, right? We've known we've had to modernize the electrical grid for quite some time. I've been doing technology policy for over 25 years. And this was a conversation we had maybe 10 to 15 years ago. You know, the fact that these data centers are allowed to sort of plug and play, I think, is part of the challenge. And you mentioned Trump. I mean, he is for accelerated AI at all costs. And it's no secret that many of the companies that are benefiting from this economy, the billionaires, you know, that we've referenced, you know, are very much bedfellows with this current administration. But that does not mean that communities do not have a voice.
Well, just tell me about some of these politicians, because some of them previously had really supported the growth of the AI sector, but are now tapping into this community concern. You know, the Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he's won, Senator Bernie Sanders. Just tell me about, you know, the quite powerful figures that are talking about this now.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. Among, you know, Bernie Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez, we are seeing, you know, an immediate halt to data center development because they want to ensure that, you know, there are clean energy standards in place, that communities are not being, you know, exploited further with regards to what they get out of these deals.
This process is moving very, very quickly, and we need to slow it down.
More than 100 local communities across 12 states have already enacted local moratoriums on data centers. And Congress itself has a moral obligation to stand with them and stop big tech from ruining their communities.
And then, as you said, you've seen people like Governor Abbott, which was a surprise to me, actually slow down the process because Texas is obviously ripe for data centers.
They've not been working in collaboration with local governments. And so they basically dug their own grave for the problem that's been caused for them. And that's why they got the backlash they deserve.
Well, Nicole, we have nowhere near as many data centers in Australia yet.
But they were trying to come. They were trying.
They are indeed. We've got about 165 in operation, more than 200 in development. But as you say, I'm assuming that figure will grow. And it is becoming a pretty touchy political issue here too. There is debate over these national standards that the government wants to put in place. One state in particular, Queensland, it has pushed back on a demand that data centres be required to use renewable energy.
National Cabinet agreeing to mandatory rules to manage the data centre boom in Australia's interests, with federal laws to be passed next year. But Queensland and the NT are claiming a win, defying federal demands that the energy-hungry centres be powered by renewables.
Just tell me from your perspective and what you've seen unfold in America, how important is it that regulation is put in place early on?
Well, I think that there is some discussion about having regulation or some type of legislative priority that's put before Congress to sort of reel this in. Some of it is related to the moratorium language. Some of it is related to outright bans. Some of it is actually related to taxpayer protection when it comes to rates. Some of it's related to land use. You know, I think we're kind of all over the place when it comes to what's the right framework for ensuring that these can be potential economic development opportunities while at the same time protecting consumers from future harm. You know, what we're seeing the companies do in the absence of regulation, if they start with a community and the community shuts down, they go someplace else, right? And until they find the perfect candidate who's willing to take the risk. I mean, for me, I kind of find what Australia has done to be quite interesting in putting in some regulatory guardrails. For me, that makes sense because you do not want to have a wild west of this type of infrastructure development that in some respects could leave stranded assets within communities. And so again, I think if the United States is really clear on what the common goal is, I think we'll get closer to a legislative framework that makes sense. But again, you have to consider this in the backdrop of what we're experiencing now. Over the last couple of years in this administration, we have weakened controls on climate. A lot of those protections that were in place that would ensure that there was clean energy bundled into these deals have been dismantled, right? We also see a lot of challenges right now with states not being able to have their own rights and say on how they handle AI regulations and laws. So, you know, I think this is one of those situations, as I explained it to people, it is a big conversation that at this point doesn't have a small solution, but it is one that we're learning a lot about how we're going to accommodate the supply and demand in ways that make sense for society writ large.
Yeah. And of course, we must mention there are some benefits, right, in having this industry on home soil. It's big business, it's lucrative, it's cutting edge. It's not all bad.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I try to keep in mind, right? I mean, I've been able to travel around and talk to a lot of people that are sort of in this gray area when it comes to data center development. You know, we have so many economies, local economies that have been disinvested in over the years, rural economies where a data center coming in allows for public infrastructure investments, unfunded mandates to be held, a new fire station in some instances. You know, while we do not want these folks to be short-sighted in what they can actually extract from these billion-dollar companies, that has made a heck of a difference in bringing some funding to areas that have just been overlooked and, you know, historically disinvested in over the years. But the key thing is that people should not be giving away the entire store if they want to go the route of getting a data center. Communities should be very thoughtful first before a data center comes as to what they value. Do you value infrastructure investments? Do you value education investments? Do you value, you know, roads and transportation improvements? Know what you want, because if that company comes knocking on your door, it gives you a lot more readiness to be able to negotiate a deal that's going to be a win-win for the community, not the company.
Nicole Turner-Lee is the director of the Center for Technology Innovation and a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. This episode was produced by Ilaria Brophy and Louise Mylan. Audio production by Anna John and Sam Dunn. Our supervising producer is Sydney Peed. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.